Welcome to Worst Ever Podcast. I'm your host, Christine Lakin.
I'm your host, Alaa Khaled.
Today it's Alaa Khaled. Yeah, we go back and forth. It's fine. Today on the podcast, we have an old dear friend of both of ours, very funny actress by the name of Alana Ubach. You would know Alana from literally every movie that's ever currently playing on cable because she's done so many movies. It's crazy. Like Meet the Fockers, Legally Blonde, Sister Act 2. She is also
That's when I met her.
I mean, it goes on and on and on, the stuff that she's been in. It's kind of insane how much this girl worked. Waiting with Ryan Reynolds, the Brady Bunch movie. I mean, she's just hilarious. She's amazing. Currently, she is on Girlfriend's Guide to Divorce on Bravo. Anyway, she's super funny. She's really irreverent, and you guys are going to love this interview. She already had her baby, so congrats to her. Big congrats.
July 25th, she had a little baby boy.
And we did this interview just before when she was super pregnant, and she let us come into her home, of all things, and then made us snacks. She was so nice. She's like the nicest, really big pregnant lady I've ever met. She was just like running around her house, like feeding us things. The only thing was,
not to be negative, but it was the worst.
It was
a parking nightmare.
Okay, it was a parking nightmare. She lives like up in the hills, and it's really tough. There's nowhere to park.
A lot of stairs.
She's going to have to really do some more baby-proofing that house.
She's going to, and major baby-proofing.
There were cacti.
There's like Grammys everywhere.
Grammys and cacti and some really expensive things. But the bassinet, the pride bassinet, you're going to have to listen to understand what we're talking about. Don't worry, we'll post photos. Enjoy.
The worst moments of our life.
Hey girl, hey, that's bad.
So speaking of like worst ever experiences.
That is the worst ever.
I don't feel so good.
And that was my worst audition ever.
How bad can it be?
And we feel the pain is best or funny.
Welcome to Worst Ever Podcast.
I'm your host, Alaa Khaled, and my cohorts, Hortz.
No.
Let's do that again.
That was horrible.
Roll sound, speed, and action.
Welcome to Worst Ever Podcast.
I'm your host, Alaa Khaled.
And I'm your host, Christine Lakin.
Sort of.
Today on the podcast, we have
An old friend of mine. Who do you think she's known longer?
Well, she's probably known you longer. It's not a competition.
Well, okay. I slept with the both of you, and you were both fantastic.
Oh my God, thank you.
An actress, a comedian. You would know her from most recently... Girlfriend's Guide to Divorce.
Yes, Girlfriend's Guide, sorry.
My gosh, the worst.
There's two more seasons left.
Two more.
Yeah.
You would know her from some of her work, which I just saw you in. I just saw Legally Blonde, and I had to
For the first time?
No.
Oh.
For like probably the 14th or 15th
was
time.
Was it on cable or did you rent it?
No, it was on cable. You're going to get a check soon.
Thank God.
Check. I know. Alana Ubach. Welcome, Alana.
Thanks, Tarla. Thanks for having me. How long have I known you? I think a combined like 45 years.
Well, here, you don't remember this, but I met you on the set of Sister Act 2.
Did we make out?
No. My friend Dee Dee Magna, who just did the show... was in Sister Act 2, and so I was on the set visiting, and I kept going, who's the girl singing The Love Boat? The Love Boat.
Right, yes. The Love Boat. Yes, Dee Dee turned me on to The Body Shop when I was a little girl, because she used to smell so delicious. She smelled like a strawberry sundae.
Yeah.
I went to strip club.
That's where I went. The Body Shop.
Yeah.
Right. And she had, or the body store.
The body shop.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, Dee Dee, what is your secret? Why do you smell so good? You smell like a strawberry sundae. And like those scented dolls I used to play with when I was a kid. And she said, well, I'll tell you, Alana, my secret is strawberry oil and vanilla oil. And I mix it together and I get it at the body shop at the mall. And I said, are you kidding me? So I get in my car and I drive over to the mall and I get like a five-year supply of like strawberry sundae scented oils. And let me tell you, it amped my sex life. And I'm glad you guys are here.
Well, you are pregnant.
Yeah.
Oh, yes,
and
I am.
Due in 3 weeks. And not only are you doing this podcast totally pregnant, but you provided snacks and beers.
I made a nice schmear for them.
She's not drinking
beers.
And I'm not drinking the beers.
She provided the beers for us, which is like the most generous pregnant thing I've ever heard of.
Well, I think she was so excited to see people.
I'm just so excited to have people over my house, like to actually have friends for a day. And the fact that I'm not paying you guys is miraculous.
No, we've had Nicole Tom on the podcast, and so many people have written in about her episode because, you know, she's so funny. And you and Nicole have been friends for a very long time, too.
Here's my theory about Nicole Tom. What's going to happen is that Jennifer Coolidge is going to retire.
Right.
And then she's going to get just a plethora of fucking phone calls offering her those gigs.
Oh,
because
definitely.
I just think she's Jennifer Coolidge.
She is. I think she is in person.
Absolutely.
In person. But I, watching Nicole's work, she's a really good, like, straight
She's
actor.
A real deal. She's yeah, a real
she's
deal,
like,
man.
She's really, really,
yeah,
really,
yeah, for
really
sure,
good.
For sure. I love me some Nicole.
Me too.
She's such
I
a
do
Tom.
Too. Do you remember when I saw you guys, gosh, was it 2 years ago, the Norby Walters?
Yes!
Night of 100 Stars.
Okay, and this is why
we
love...
talk about that shit show?
Let's talk about Christine Lake and how fucking cool she is. She's such a punk rock renegade, and here's why. We run into her. She's by herself, having a lovely little time, sparkly blue eyes. I'm like, my God, Christine, that is the most beautiful dress I've ever seen. She's like, thanks, it's my wedding dress. I figured I could get some mileage out of it by wearing it to Norby Walters' Night of 100 Has-Beens. I was like, that is fantastic.
Yeah, it was so the worst.
So I decided to start wearing my wedding dress
Did
out.
You?
Yes, and it really packs a punch.
Yeah, man, fuck that. You
what,
paid
you
like... No, I just wore it out. My wedding dress was blush.
Christine's
so it wasn't
bigger than a minute. I mean
it was no
on.
White anyway. But I figured two things. Number one, this is probably the only thing fancy enough I could get away with wearing it to.
Right.
I paid a lot of money for it.
Yeah, you did.
And
I don't blame you.
It was literally tailored within an inch of my life, and I knew I was going to get pregnant soon, and it was a good chance it would never fit again. And
water
I was right
pump.
On both accounts.
There you go.
What's this event?
Okay. I have been invited to this event for no less than maybe a decade.
It's
I have
best.
Never gone.
It's the best.
It's the night of the Oscars, and this gentleman, who's this older man named Norby Walters, greatest name ever, he would literally call me on a landline. Don't know how he got my number. And he would leave these messages like, hello, Christine, it's your old pal, Norby Walters. The Night of 100 Stars is coming up.
Classic 90210 fixture.
Totally.
Borscht Belt you. Lovely.
And
lovely
he basically throws this viewing party for the Oscars. But it is literally like Gary Busey and all the people.
Captain Steubing.
Right.
You will run into Captain Steubing. I don't know if he's alive or dead, but he's alive that night at Charo.
Shut
like,
up.
It's insane.
It is insane.
Eye candy.
So it's like old TV Hollywood.
It's old.
You will find someone who was on your lunch pail at one time.
Yeah. We sat next to Patricia Heaton.
Oh.
Yeah. Fantastic.
There is, but the press line when you get there is this wrap around, in and out. You can't, like, once you get on it, you can't get off it.
You can't, and it's retro and so cool.
It's so cool and so weird.
What kind of press shows up?
That's
God.
A really great question.
I don't know,
and I really don't care. I'm usually wasted by the time, like blacked out by the time I'm at that place.
And they provide dinner and everything?
Oh, yes. It's like the Golden Globes. It's in the same place where they film the Golden Globes. So you're there getting smashed.
It's at the Beverly Hilton?
Yes.
With your free chicken. It's at the Beverly Hilton. It's fantastic. Now, Norby and Gary Michael Walters both produced Bobby. They produced Whiplash. Yeah, they're pretty, they're a big fucking deal.
Yeah, and the greatest part of this one was that they had a sponsor this year, and the sponsor was a weird company called Nygaard Slims.
Right.
And it kind of sounded like, I thought it was like Virginia Slims. I think it was some kind of tobacco company. No.
Right.
Nygaard Slims are these latex, like stirrup pants.
Right. Yeah.
It made no sense.
Bag?
No.
It was in the gift bag.
Apparently you could burn like 1,000 calories in 5 minutes or something.
Because they're like made of plastic.
Yeah, while driving on the 405.
Do you still have them?
No, I think I gave mine to the Goodwill.
Why? I do have the bag though.
Oh my God.
I use it for shopping at Trader Joe's.
Well, then genius. And then like 3 months later, I was in New York for work and I look up in Times Square and wouldn't you know it, there's a brick and mortar
no way.
Nygaard Slims. I'm like, how is this in business?
How?
It's a front.
Do they do men's?
Front.
Probably.
I don't know. Maybe.
I think
we'll
they didn't have them in my husband's size.
But then in between the commercial breaks, because obviously we're watching the Oscars, we're not watching the commercials because it was just the telecast, they would have the models from Nygaard Slims, who were there for the event, get up with Mr. Nygaard, who's like 107 years old, but is taking so much growth hormone that he just looks sort of puffy.
He looks amazing.
Yeah, amazing and kind of puffy with like kind of strange feathered hair.
Well,
we know that.
Obby. Yeah. And he would kind of parade these models back and forth with their stirrup pants and explain the different features
of the
pants.
So they did their own commercials.
Yeah.
It was hilarious. Amazing. There were so many things happening that night.
Look at that. They're like, Steven they're the jeggings.
Yes, they're jeggings. Steven is looking up Nygaard Slims. What do they look like, Steven?
I mean, they just look like, they look like leggings, but they're, they look like plastic. Like you could like,
painted on you.
Yeah, right, you could like hit it and it would be like, you know.
Right,
like,
right.
It's what did you do with your, you remember what you did with yours?
I think you know what I do? I always throw things in the recycle bin and then I just keep the bag. I have like 1,000 bags.
Yeah, because you don't want to spend the 10 cents extra at the grocery store. It pisses you off.
It's all about the sustainability. And I'm just like, what can I use out of this gift? Like any kind of free gifts that I get at anything, the opening of an envelope, I'll show up because I'm like, okay, how can I use this? What can I, we have a bunch of pens. You know?
Oh, sure.
Because you can never have enough pens.
Water bottles.
Or memo pads, water bottles. Yeah, crap like that. So I'll keep that kind of stuff. But, you know, my husband and I go to the Latin Grammys every year, and there's only so much Colombian coffee we can keep in the fridge.
Oh, wow. Oh.
Or store in the freezer.
Right.
I like my one cup of coffee a day, even though I'm pregnant, but fucking I'm 41. And yeah.
I
need to be alert.
I get it.
2 hours. A lot more than coffee.
There you go.
So don't worry about it.
Oh, I know. Look, I'm diet size. I know my mom used to like sprinkle sweet and low on my cornflakes when I was 3. And that's why I'm so little.
Did they have sweet and low when you were 3?
Yes, they did. They had the pink cancer shit back in the 60s.
Oh, man.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so speaking of your husband, we walked in. There's just maybe, I don't know, 6 Grammys.
That son of a gun.
By the front door.
There's more than that.
He's won like 16 Grammys. Oh. He's a big overachiever. He's in fact, the first time on our first date, it was our second date, and then I saw his house and I clocked the Grammys. I thought I'm gonna steal a couple because if this date goes sour, at least he'll call me to ask for the Grammys back, and I put them in my little
Nygaard slim bag.
I get a call from him the next day, just a text. Hey, kiddo, it's Tom
kiddo?
Russo here. I'm embellishing. But did you perhaps take a couple of my awards? Did you do that? I was just like, well, what makes you think that? That's so weird. And so I take a picture of him, and they're like, I'm at the car wash with guys at the car wash. Like, I give them to, like, the people that are...
Serious?
Hold this. And they're, like, holding up the Grammys, and, like, I'm taking pictures, you know, all over town.
Oh, you had his Grammys, like, sitting in your car while your car was being washed?
In the trunk, like, ghetto style, man. You could take the girl out of Downey. Don't fuck with me.
How... This is the second date with him?
Second date. Yeah, I knew I was going to marry him. I was just like, this is the guy. We're from the same planet. This is it.
He got it. See, that's the thing.
Yeah.
She did it. He got it. And
he was like,
sealed the deal.
I made him laugh.
Where did you get married?
We ended up getting married at the Adamson House in Malibu.
Oh, yeah.
Adamson House is really fun.
Yeah.
They give you like tours of the Adamson House during the actual ceremony and during the reception and everything. We had a blast. Surfers like surfing up on the side, you know, when we were... We were dancing and getting trashed.
And how did you guys meet?
We met at Pache, which is really funny, on a blind date.
Love it.
You on a blind date?
On a blind date.
Wow.
But I loved blind dates back then. I really did. I was like, I'm up for anything. Wherever, I'll meet the person. Because we didn't have the internet
was... There was no Tinder.
There was no Tinder. There was no Bumble or Wire or any of that bullshit. And so I was set up with him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And
so you what?
I was set up with him. And I think you said
I slept with him.
And then we met?
That too. I'm not a fool. And that was it. I mean, you know, we were just like, wow, really good. And that was it.
Who set you up?
I was set up with him by a friend of mine, Danielle Kirk.
Was she in your wedding?
And Tanya Fenmore. They showed up at the wedding. No, I wouldn't do that to anyone. I was an old maid by the time I walked down the aisle. So I just threw my mom in the wedding and a couple sisters, and there you go.
Did you have a bachelorette party?
I did have a bachelorette party. We ended up going to Solvang. Nicole and I got kicked out of a bar.
Shocker. I don't want to tell my Nicole's story in Solvang.
Yeah, and then we got kicked out of a casino.
My wedding.
I don't think she's as back to Solvang anymore. I think.
Oh, you have no idea.
Yeah, I don't Solvang think she is, should go back to Solvang.
It's like the Bermuda Triangle.
Smog. Yes, it is. It's this. There's this like the soot of racism in the air.
It's
that is
fucking
pretty
weird.
Gross.
No, when she said she was
pretty gross.
When she said that she was getting married, like
I got married in Santa Ynez.
Okay, but
that's a big difference.
It's no, but the hotel that everyone was staying at was in Solvang.
A lot of homophobes out there.
If you're going to do a destination wedding, then make sure it's a fucking destination.
Got it.
Okay.
I wanted to get married at a winery.
Okay.
So
then pick Napa Valley or something.
Did you get married at a wine?
I did. It was far. Napa's very far and very expensive.
I understand why you did that.
But
that's ridiculous, but
it's not enough of a destination that I'm like, okay, it's 2 hours away, but I have to get a hotel because I'm going to be drinking so much.
This is why you need a lover. Uber. You could have gone to her wedding and then the next day go to Napa.
But I was
just like annoyed. Anyways, the best part of the Solvang thing in her wedding was the strudel or strudel. Yeah, the strudel. They're the best strudel.
He's like, because it's a Danish town.
Yeah.
So there's lots of Danishes.
So odd.
Yeah. But
it's weird.
The pastries are delicious.
The pastries are insane.
They also have a brat house that has really great brats.
Wow.
But all he did all day, the day before my wedding, when, you know, of course I'm not doing anything. Right. He's just taking pictures of himself drinking wine, eating streusels, just sending them to me over and over again. I'm like, dude, I don't have time for this nonsense. I'm trying to make boutonnieres and get like this shit that I've DIY'd over to the venue. And you're just, you know, having a gay old time over at the brat house.
Yeah, it was fun. And so then Nicole.
Oh, my God.
So then this asshole, which everyone knows that I love fucking Nicole Tom.
Of course.
More than anyone.
Yeah. You like fucking it,
too. She sits her at my table.
Well, obviously.
Oh, how fun.
And it was, you know, it was at obviously a vineyard. And Nicole's like, oh, I'll just have a couple glasses of wine.
Because she's driving back to L.A.
We're in Solvang, Lonnie.
We do that all the time. Anyways, it turned out to be a chaotic fucking evening. Especially, like, with your bridesmaids. And
Did you
have drama at your wedding?
Come
on.
Gosh, I mean, everyone Latin slept families. With everyone. You know, there was a beach right there. So, I mean, sand in everyone's underwear by the end of the night. Someone got an STD.
What?
I keep forgetting. I think it was a cousin of mine.
That night?
It was like chlamydia.
Just something
like a really old school disease that word had gotten around that she ended up contracting that from an actor friend of mine. Isn't that amazing?
Oh, shit.
Yeah, isn't that wild?
Very. No, you never know.
I know.
So wait, was the STD coming from his guest or your guest?
I don't know.
We need to find that out.
Chlamydia is a beautiful
name.
Steven,
can you investigate?
Is that a gorgeous name? If it's a girl, I'm naming her Chlamydia.
You are not.
Yes, I will.
So you don't know the sex?
Gonorrhea.
If it's a boy.
Yeah, exactly. But it is. I'm shaped like I'm growing a boy.
I was going to say, if I were to predict, I would say a boy.
This is a boy. Come on.
Well, yeah. We're going to get a picture for sure.
Absolutely.
I want to talk about your career a little bit.
Sure.
Because you've had a very long career.
I just say yes to everything, and not too many people do because they're not as dumb as I am.
Well, I
that's
am.
Not true.
I'm as dumb as you are.
No, and I watched an interview with RuPaul, and he on Watch What Happens Live.
Really?
Yeah, and he said, I will do everything that I'm asked because you don't know when the next job is going to come.
That's my feeling.
And I love people. I just, you know, it really helps to be an actor that loves people because I just like meeting new people and making new friends. If I find out that it's, you know, oh, I've never worked with that director or, oh, that's an actress I really like. Or, you know, I mean, I remember one time I was like 27 years old and Tori Spelling was in this movie with, it was The House of Yes with Parker Posey.
Yeah.
And she and I don't know how she had found out that I had written something and she was just like, they were like, well, you haven't even read the script, Tori. And she was like, well, I don't care if it's good or not. I just want to hang out with Alana and a couple of her friends for a couple months. That sounds like a lot of fun. And I thought, wow, that's something to really take into consideration that yes, if you've been hanging around this town as long as I have, you can't take it seriously. You just have to treat it like it's a party different parties are being invited to all
totally.
The time. And
not only
that's
it. But no matter how bad the project may be, if you're good, you're good. Regardless.
Exactly.
Then that's what counts.
Yeah. Or if you're bad, then
it's going to show.
Move on.
If you're bad, then hopefully no one saw it.
It's all good.
What was the first job you ever had?
The first job I ever had was Los Alvarez when I was 4 years old. I was on a romper room and Miss Maria, the first Latina who was the guest of the romper room franchise on KTLA, was, of course, shooting an independent film during her hiatus after the wrap of that last show. So she thought I was very cute and outgoing, and I looked Latina enough to play her daughter. So she went up to my mom and she said, listen, I'm doing an independent film called Los Alvarez. It's about this Mexican family, farm family in LA, I mean, in California, and it's all about boxing. My mom was like, what do you need my kid for? She was like, to play my daughter, and she just has a couple of lines, blah, blah, blah. And so I said, yeah, absolutely, I'll do it. And my mom said that I had said, I don't even remember, but she was like, really, Alana, you want to do that? I was like, oh, yeah, Mom, this is my life. So I was really sassy as a kid. I grew up around nothing but adults. My sister was 11 years older than me when I was born. So I was around all these adults, and I just, you know, my mom, like, propped me up in front of the TV, and we'd watch, you know, Auntie Mame 1,000 times.
I love that movie.
Yeah, my mom was like a gay man trapped in this, like, you know, 35-year-old body, and it was awesome. Really fun being raised by someone like that, because I thought, oh, this is something that I really love to do. And she always had, like, season tickets to the Doolittle or the Hollywood Bowl, and so I was exposed to that stuff. I was like, Mom, do these people pee on stage? She was like, oh, no, they don't. They wind them up, and they put them in little boxes at night, and you could do that too. And I said, really? She's like, oh, yes. And she really encouraged you from the very beginning.
Did.
And she, I think she was, if I may be so bold, she was a real frustrated writer.
Yeah.
Because everything that I asked her was very big fish, like, you know, where I came from. And she said, oh, it was a stormy night. Your real father is Wesley DeHall. He was disfigured and embarrassed to call you his father. So he left you on the doorstep, and you were a deeper shade of brown, and so we doused you in bleach and we dyed your hair. I was like, really, Mom? My hair is really, like, dark. And she was like, it was blue when you were born. And we, you know, I mean, she was just would make up so many things. And so I grew up in this, like, fantasy land. This adult lived in a fantasy land.
Yeah.
Constantly. And it was like my inspiration.
What part of LA did you grow up in?
Downey, the Mexican Beverly Hills. So right off of the 5 South.
So your ethnic background is Mexican?
My mother is Mexican. My father was a Spanish Jew born in Puerto Rico. And
how the hell did they meet?
Oh, big influx of Spanish Jews, especially during the war. They were, you know, the Moranos ended up being, you know, major trouble. I mean, Spain was like, if you're not Catholic, you're dead.
Right.
So a lot of people ended up moving to Argentina. Huge German influx in Mexico. I mean, that's why it's so funny when people are like, you don't look Mexican, you don't look Hispanic. I'm like, okay, you need to take a trip to Mexico. It's a very big country.
Well,
there are a lot of blonde hair, blue eyes that look just like Christine Lakin in the middle of Mexico.
Huge European influence. Don't they watch Univision?
Yes. Because it's the Indian influence that makes, you know, that makes most people say, oh, okay, you're supposed to look this way. But right. No,
my father's dark brown hair and blue eyes, light skin. My grandmother was a redhead.
Wow.
Yeah. And there both my parents are Palestinian.
There you go. You know. Yeah. It's wild. Anyway, so before I knew it, I was 10, and my mom had read in the newspaper that there was this young people's program called at the Lee Strasberg Institute that, you know, you could take a summer program
on
there.
Santa Monica Boulevard?
Santa Monica and Hayworth. So I started going there for a couple of years.
Wow.
And started booking AFI films. And you know, I took it from there. Signed with Natalie Rawson, who was a kid's agent.
Uh-huh.
And then I started booking little pilots. And then I got Taft Hartlead when I was 14. I booked this Victoria Principal pilot.
That means, by
Just
the way,
Life.
Taft-Hartley is a term that people use.
For 80s.
Yeah. Well, if you're not in the union, say if you're doing non-union work and then you suddenly book a union job, you don't have to join right away. You can do what's a Taft-Hartley, which is like a gimme, basically. So you don't have to pay union dues right away. And then if you get another union job, then you can decide at that point, because maybe you'll have a little more money. You can pay into the union.
For sure.
You can get the benefits.
Well, you have a choice at that
point. Et cetera.
You have a choice.
No, you don't really have a choice at that point. Because
at that point, you can choose to take the job or not.
Exactly.
But you must join the union if... Yeah.
So that's what happened. And then I got my license and I started taking, you know, schlepping myself to auditions. And
wow. So at 16, like, okay. You were going to school and you were also going to your own auditions.
Yeah. And not really booking a bunch of stuff. I wasn't Miley Cyrus. I was a working actor. So I was doing a bunch of guest stars and shit like
that. Well, that's really, and I always say that one of the best careers to have, because you are a character actor.
Oh, I've never peaked. I've never hit it mainstream.
Yeah, but you don't.
But you constantly work.
Sure.
You are the best friend, the sidekick, the funny, you know, sister in everything.
You know, it's funny. I had a conversation with Lisa Edelstein, who is like, you know, number one on the show that I was on. And she said, what do you want to do after this, Alana? And I said, I just love to be... You know, I wouldn't mind doing another Best Friend, another really good, you know, quality show. And she was like, really? And I said, oh, yeah. You don't understand. I love, you know, having an option at 2 o'clock in the morning to go out and get a hamburger. And, you know, no one's going to stare at you or bug you.
But is that true? Because you're very recognizable because really? You're so different. Yeah. Because you stand out on the screen all the time.
Thanks.
On everything that you do. Like, immediately. Like, especially with... First of all, Sister Act 2, of course, you stood out. There's like 25 kids.
Lauren
and you stood at Lauryn Hill. And you still stood out. I mean, you're comedic. How old were you when you did that?
I was 16 and a half. Yeah. 16
and a half.
Yeah, 16 and a half. 17.
So, and Whoopi Goldberg cast you, right? Because she was part of that casting process.
Whoopi Goldberg? Yeah. Bill Duke was like the big cheese.
But she had approval on everyone.
Probably. Yeah. I mean, you know, it was you know, it was a sequel, and she was getting paid the most money that any Hollywood actress had ever been paid at that time. I think it was like, you guys, it was like $12 million or something like that she'd made on that movie. Isn't that insane?
Wow.
Did you do a sitcom with... No, I'm thinking of another actor. Never mind.
Probably.
Did I
do a sitcom with...
Did you end up... Have you done a series yet of your own besides... That's a half hour?
Yeah. Yes. It was called See Dad Run. It was on Nickelodeon. I played mom. Scott Baio played my husband.
Right.
Yes.
Of course.
There you go.
That's right. Okay. And then... So then Sister Act 2... That's what I was saying. Sister Act 2, you stood out completely.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. Even what's his name? Who was fucking crazy?
Who? Which one?
White boy.
God.
Clown. He was in our acting class with Stephen Haves.
Matthew Lillard?
No, you're not going to know his name. He's like his one-off job.
Oh yeah, I know you're talking about. That. Yeah.
He's Steven's like totally out of his mind.
Really kooky out there. Yes, kind of like an Andy Kaufman sort of thing he was doing as a teenager.
Completely.
Yes. Okay.
And
yes.
He was.
What happened to him? What's going on?
I don't know.
Yeah, he probably got really smart and moved to Silicon Valley and has a really hot wife with fake tits.
But there were so many so many people that came out of that movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you stood out.
It was so 80s. That
and then same with Legally Blonde. I mean, that's a huge...
I know. And it's so funny that I saw it last week. And I was staying with a friend of mine up north. And I was just flipping channels. I was packing up, getting ready to go. And all of a sudden it comes on. And I'm like, God, I love this movie.
That's so
oh,
cute.
God. There's Alana. I'm going to see her next week.
Oh, my
week.
Gosh. You know, I'm actually going out to visit Jessica Caulfield, who was Margo in it.
Yeah.
She lives in Ojai now.
Oh,
so
you're kidding.
I'm going out there to go and visit her.
That's
our last baby. Baby moon.
Awesome.
You're going before you have the baby?
Yeah
that's what a baby moon is.
The baby moon. Yeah, before the
last
child
time you're
grabs
together.
Your dreams and kills them. And,
right. It's so the last time you can just be together, just the two of you. You know.
Are you taking parenting classes or anything?
I thought you were about to say, are you taking pills? Oh, yeah. I'm on Demerol.
Yeah.
Am I taking any...
like parenting? I mean, it's your first child.
Sure, and I've forgotten everything. I've taken a Binny birth, Rye... I've taken all of it. What do you call it? Workshops over at Cedar Sinai. I don't remember any of them.
Well,
I mean, we took notes, and I guess it's the.
I took
the whole
a birthing
thing.
Class, and then you know it kind of. I mean, it's helpful to have the information going because you kind of understand what your body's doing. But then you get into it, and you're not thinking about any of that.
Wow,
you're thinking about like, what the fuck is going to take this pain away right now, and how do I try to breathe through it?
I've never even had a broken pinky.
I want to go back a little bit, actually, because you had told a story when you came and did our live show.
Yes.
That I want to talk about.
Oh, I tried out for Juilliard.
Yes.
And I really, that was really embarrassing and humiliating.
This is after Sister Act.
I think so.
Before was Legally Blonde. If you're 16 before, and a half.
It was definitely before Legally Blonde.
So let's start at the beginning. So you're, you know, 17, 18, and you're thinking about going to college. And you were, was Juilliard like your only choice?
Oh, my God. I went out for NYU, Juilliard, Yale, USC. It was like throwing spaghetti across the room and seeing what stuck against the refrigerator. I just didn't really... I wasn't excited about college. Mm-hmm. To me, it was just like high school all over again, just more expensive. And I thought, why the fuck do I want to be around a bunch of kids my own age who don't know what the work ethic is all about? And they don't know what it's like to kiss ass to the hand that feeds you and get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and work 14 hours a fucking day.
Right.
I felt like an adult.
Yeah.
But you felt like it was something you had to do.
I felt like
everyone
it was something
was
I had to do because my mother did not finish college. My father didn't. And they were working immigrants. Mm-hmm. And they insisted that we all finished, that we would be. My mother always said, she was like, I'm not going to raise two daughters that I'm smarter than. Mm-hmm. I refuse to be smarter than my two kids that I'm raising. So my sister went to USC. She was a graduate. My aunt, who is very much my sister, Eloise, she went to USC. She was a graduate. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to, you know, prove myself by going to school and finishing those 4 years. So yes, I did try out for Juilliard and I did a scene from Jaws 2. And then I did a scene from...
Say it again. Woo! Say it again.
Jaws 2.
Jaws 2.
And that... I obviously did not make round one. If it was RuPaul's Drag Race, I probably would have made round one, but I did not make round one. And you know what's so funny is that I was just this clueless idiot.
Which scene from Jaws 2 did you do?
I did all the characters when they were discussing. You're talking about some damn shark's mother? Because the mother in Jaws 3D had actually gone.
It's Jaws 3D.
Jaws 3D. And. Anyway, so all of that said and done, Juilliard, go fuck yourself.
You did? Hold on. Stop. I need to know. Okay. Did you go to New York to audition?
No, I went to San Francisco.
Okay. You show up.
Yeah.
You memorize. What'd you do? You write out the dialogue from Jaws? Or how'd you get the script from Jaws?
You know what? It was such a big blank. I mean... The people that auditioned me are probably dead, but I that was like 25 years ago or something like that. But I can't believe they actually let me do that scene. And then the next scene was a scene from what was it? I had rewritten like a classic.
Oh no! Oh no! Because you have to do a classic and a contemporary monologue.
I'd rewritten it. I was like, this isn't gonna work. But what is gonna work for me?
So you like took Shakespeare and was like,
yes.
I'm rewriting the Juliet monologue.
Yes, they wanted something modern, and then something, and then I did. But I added on like a scene from a movie just to show them that I could do film. I could tone myself down for film, and that was what I was trying to show them. Like I was trying to figure out, like wrap my head around the logic behind that. But I was like, listen, if I show them that I can do really commercial stuff, then they'll probably say, well, we definitely need her in our institution. It's
Why
very
not just
important.
Send your reel?
I should have.
Right. Like the stuff that you'd actually been paid to do.
They didn't have a VHS player in the audition room, unfortunately. But I would have done it. Anyway, I wish that would have been videotaped. It wasn't. They kicked me right out.
Like how many people were in the room?
About three. And about three people?
I mean...
In like a dance studio looking room that you walk in. It was like Fame.
And and they're just staring at you. Ridiculous. Do Jaws 2?
Oh, they 3D? Were so sweet. They were so sweet. They all looked at each other like, okay, what else do you have? And I was like, I have a song. And then I have a scene from Shakespeare. I did that. And then I did a third. And you know, quite frankly, it wasn't bad. Like I really was so focused and so committed. And the guy just sort of led me out like, what a clueless little schmuck. What an entitled little asshole. Like, just because she was in an MOW with Tina Yothers, she thinks her shit doesn't stink.
How is Tina?
I don't know. She's having lunch with Antonio Sabato Jr., you know, but I... I worked with him twice. He, what a
You know he's running for Congress.
Man. He is?
That I just heard. Listen, I got word on the streets today. My friend just goes, look who just called me.
Why can't he just do us all a favor and just run for like Congress, but like it should be like a porn version of him running for Congress, right?
Well, do you remember the reality? Do you remember the reality show?
Yeah,
that he did?
Bitch.
Do you remember that reality
show?
Yeah,
I do.
Oh,
he's an. I mean, he must be a really nice guy, but I'm like going, what happened to you?
I don't know, but I still want to sit on his face.
All right. Well,
I want to like angry screw that Republican.
Well, I don't know if he's is he Republican,
honey. He is the most like right wing.
Is he really?
Yes.
I think so.
Yes. I still want to sit on his face.
Jesus. Oh, that's, you know, that's a conundrum
having,
for you.
She's having a it baby is. With her husband. That's how she talks.
She's in love. Hey, if you guys are laughing, that's all that matters. No, I wouldn't sit on his face, please.
Well, she would.
Yeah. I mean, no. I don't want to give him face herpes. That would be awful.
Well, if he went to your wedding, that could be a possibility.
Vintage disease.
Have you met my daughter, chlamydia? Yeah.
I have herpes.
So you didn't get into Juilliard. Did you end up going to college?
I ended up getting into... This is really cool.
Why
I got
do you
into...
want to talk sideways in the mic? I'm just trying to figure you out. You're like a sound man's disaster.
Can you hear me? If I'm doing it like this,
okay.
I mean, these 70s microphones are fucking big enough. You would think. Anyway, I feel like Diana Ross on Soul Train. What were we talking about, kid?
What school did you go to? Did you go to school? Where'd you go?
Community
college?
Got accepted to USC, NYU, and I ended up going to USC for about 20 minutes. I was there. My father passed away.
I'm sorry.
I was really bummed. Hey, it's life, man, and. And I got really depressed, and I ended up dropping out of college and just going straight to work because it's sort of all I had to hold on to. I really just needed to concentrate and focus and be around a lot of people. And a lot of the times when you're a freshman in college, it's very solitary. It's a very solitary existence. And I think subconsciously, I just thought that it was something that was not going to be good for me psychologically.
And well, face it, what were you going to major in?
Theater,
right?
Really?
So like,
you're gonna rack up, you know, $150,000 of debt or more,
exactly,
to do what you were already doing.
That was it. And so,
yeah, 'cause you're not gonna teach.
There you go. And I, but also, you know, I mean, they have an amazing program at USC.
Of course.
Not to poo-poo on it, but I didn't have, I couldn't afford to just take 4 years out of my life and concentrate solely on, you know, hanging out at frat parties. Drinking beer and doing homework.
And had you had another interest that you wanted to major in, just to have a backup or something, that'd be one thing, of course.
I can't think of anything else that I'm remotely good at. Right. And so I just can't. I probably, yeah. I mean, you know.
We'll see how you do as a mother.
Well, let's see. I hope I don't lose it.
No, stop.
Anyway, so that's the story.
Did you let me ask you a question? Did you always want kids?
You know, it's really funny. It was one of those things where my husband and I didn't even know if I wanted to get married. I was in my 30s and mm-hmm. and I meet Tom and he and I were like, let's take a shot at traditionalism. Let's do this, and we love it, and it's so much fun, and. I wanted to take care of something,
yeah.
of someone. And that was my instincts. I didn't know how I was going to do it, if I was going to adopt, if I was going to, but I've always been sort of a natural caretaker.
Yeah.
So,
you're a great mom.
Oh my gosh. We ended up doing fertility treatments because we were trying to have the kid for mm-hmm. a while. And nothing was sticking. And I thought, oh, it's just my age. What are you going to do? So we ended up freezing like 5 embryos. We have kids. You want one? We have kids on ice.
Do you know what they are?
We have no idea.
Okay.
But they're like 5 embryos. And like 2 months later, I get pregnant naturally.
Are
what?
You kidding
yes.
me?
Yes. Yes.
So, yeah, that's no how it works. Way.
I think, you know what? I think all the acupuncture and all the fertility treatments just kicked everything in gear. And it just, that's what happened.
Wow.
Isn't that wild?
So
that's
you have
great.
5 free eggs?
Yes. No, they're embryos. They're like ready to go.
That's insane.
I have 5 Frankensteins on ice. You can have one if you
All
want.
Right, thank you.
Do you think you would, well, I guess you'll see how you feel, but do you think knowing that you would want to
would
have
I have
another?
Would I have a, I, you
Maybe
know
with
what,
a
you guys? Maybe. I mean, yeah, because I ain't a spring chicken. So there's that. And let's see if this first kid isn't a pain in the ass.
I mean, how has your pregnancy been? Because you look amazing. I wouldn't even know you're pregnant.
No. I can't believe it. It's been amazing. It's really, there's something to be said about, you know, having like a healthy lifestyle before you get knocked up. It's right. The pregnancy will be easy, I promise you.
So
maybe a little, you know, it's trial and error.
You said
of course.
That you guys were said, let's take a stab at traditionalism.
Yeah.
So did he? So you knew you were gay married? Did he propose for? I mean, how did that work?
Well, you know, when you're with someone for a couple of years, you guys of course start to discuss it. What do you want? Do you want kids? You want it settled down? What are your goals and dreams? And he had been engaged before to someone. It didn't work out. He was young and he was just not ready. And my husband and I kind of, you know, we're very much cut from the same cloth. We're total worker bees. When we're not working, we don't know what the fuck to do with ourselves. And we leave each other alone. And we just thought, wow, wouldn't it be cool if like the government knew about us? No. But
we got a tax break.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be fun if we just took a stab at this? And you know, he's from Cleveland, he has Midwest values. I mean, I might be from LA, but I was born and raised in Downey. And
you're also from a Latina.
I'm from a Latina background. And you know, I've dated so many assholes. And
name a few.
Oh God, there's blah, blah, blah. He knows who he is. He knows who he is. He knows who he is.
What did he do?
Oh, he knows who he is. I've had a restraining order on
ex-boyfriends. Ooh, worst breakup ever.
Worst breakup ever.
Why? What happened with that?
I was trying to get rid of him for about like a year.
Because he was like leeching onto you?
Well, he was like that chick who was like, but I'm you know, hey, we're broken up. No, we're not. No, we're not.
No way.
No, we're not. And I thought, wow, I'm going to have to like literally find another boyfriend in front of this asshole so as to show him, no, we really are broken up. And I get caught, which is great. I'm like, oh, that's good. He'll disappear forever. But he didn't go down without a fight. And my entire family ended up getting a restraining order against him.
No.
Yeah. I hope you're listening, man. Hope Psycho you're doing bear. Well. He's married now. He has like 7 kids.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're going to have to trump him. You're going to have to use those 5 embryos.
Yes. 5 embryos. That's a lot of money raising kids.
It's, man.
It's just, you've got to be like a Rockefeller.
I know. Well, 7 kids.
Was this guy right before your husband?
He was a few years before, and then I kissed a couple of toads here and there, and then I met Tom, and I was like, oh, well, this is what it's supposed to feel like.
That's great. You know?
Yeah, but we've all kissed toads.
Oh, I've kissed several toads. Oh,
especially in this town.
I've kissed several gay toads.
There you go.
You know?
I mean,
half of my boyfriends, I think, turned out to be gay, which I don't know what that says about me. Whether they turned after me or whether they just were and I didn't realize it.
Well, I think you're incredibly alpha.
Thanks.
You're a real alpha female. And
she's anal retentive, obsessive compulsive.
No, I'm not.
Which is a wonderful thing for, I think, maybe a man who's in the closet to be around because you take charge.
Yeah.
You know? I also just love the gay community.
Did you know that she dated Andrew Keegan?
Andrew Keegan. Who's Andrew Keegan? Who's Andrew Keegan?
Oh, years ago. It was like a 90s heartthrob. For 2 weeks, thank you very much.
That's so cute.
I mean, it was very cute.
I mean, I dated Alf. I gave him a handy one time.
You gave Alf?
I did.
The voice of Alf?
Yes, in a Ford.
Shut up.
Shut the fuck up.
I got really excited for a second.
Really?
Let's talk about it.
No. What's the worst date you've ever been on?
The worst date I've ever been on? Oh, my God. Like, do you have 5 hours?
Yeah, actually.
The worst date I've ever been on. Well, God. I mean, it really depends how it affected me emotionally, right? That's always what happens, right?
Yeah.
I was on a date. Let me see. Like, the worst date I've ever been. Oh, this is the funniest date I've ever been on. I met him at a club, and then I decided that I was going to get laid that first date because I was horny. And that's what you do when you're a dude in a chick's body. And I take this guy out, and he's really, really innocent. I think he was Middle Eastern. Yes, he may have been Iranian or something. And I thought, he's really sweet. We were talking, and he was kind of gullible. So we were having dinner, and I had a couple of drinks in me, and I was just like, I don't know what the closer is going to be. I think he'll get really turned off if I tell him I want to go back to your place and have sex. So instead, I was like, look outside. And he said, yeah. And I was like, you see that billboard over there? And there was this like brunette in a bikini that was far away enough. The shot was far enough.
Stop.
For me to lie and say, that's me.
No, shut up.
Did you really? What bar
like,
are you
oh
at?
Oh my God, he looks so much taller on that billboard. I was like, well, they could do a lot of things.
Have you heard of Photoshop?
And it got me laid. He was so excited that I was on a billboard on Sunset in a bikini. The next day I drive by the billboard and the girl looks nothing like me. He's got these giant tits. He's got to be like 6 feet tall. And I couldn't believe that I convinced my date that I was that girl on the fucking billboard.
Oh, no.
Anyway, the things you do,
Did
you know.
Did he call you the next day?
No! He never called me. Probably drove past it in the morning, getting his Starbucks, saying, what the fuck?
He was like, ay.
Oh, my God. No, it was, it was like Vern Troyer, you know, like pointing to a picture of Owen Wilson on a billboard saying, that's me. And the girl like, ooh, champagne goggles. I'm going to get me some of this billboard boy.
Crazy.
Isn't that the best?
Worst date I've ever been on was with a guy I had met doing this little independent film.
Yeah.
We went out a couple of times. He was cute, kind of dumb, but, you know, pretty good looking. It was a good transitional time for me.
Right.
He lived in a house in North Hollywood with about 17 roommates, as you do. And anyway, I ended up going over there one night and I was going to sleep over. He and his friend were in the front room playing video games, because that was pretty much their other job, aside from smoking pot. Cool. I decide to go to bed, because I'm tired. So I was like, I'm just going to crash here, and no big deal. I wake up, maybe an hour or two later, to a light shining across my face.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, I kind of wake up, and I look in the quasi-darkness, and there's a police officer.
Whoa.
Standing there.
Oh, my God.
Saying, don't worry, ma'am, we're here to help. And I was like, excuse me? And I'm wearing like a t-shirt, you know?
Right, of course.
And I'm suddenly like, what is happening here? They had apparently an ex-roommate that they had locked out because he wasn't paying rent and was very disgruntled about the situation. Unbeknownst to me, this gem of a guy who I had gone on a couple dates with was growing pot. This is before like LA was legalized or any. This is way back in the day. Behind the batika. Should have been a first clue. Behind the batika that was hanging, it's like a swarthy sort of bedspread. It's like a hippie bedspread that people hang in college.
Style, like Aztec-y?
Shut up. Yeah, it's a bit Aztec-y. Anyway, he had a hidden closet behind a batika, and he was growing pot behind this thing. I always knew it smelled like pot in there, but I was like, it's a bunch of guys. They all smoke
weed.
Pot. He was growing weed.
They busted him. Wow.
Yeah.
While you were there.
While I was there.
Christine Lagan.
I know.
You knew he was growing
weed. No, I had no idea. I'm very naive to drugs. I'm very naive.
Really?
Yeah, apparently there's like four people who I know who do all the drugs, like the party drugs all the time. I had no idea.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm very naive. I think people
You've
are just
like... You've
never
done like blow or anything?
No.
Are you serious?
I am serious.
Wow.
I've smoked pot and that's it. I did have one bad experience with mushrooms, but I'll save that for another podcast. That was... I've
I thought
never
you were
going
to tell the story when you were on location with that film and that actor guy that you went seeing where he flew in to stay... Wasn't there?
Oh, that was a terrible cocaine story.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. That was another gem of a guy. Around the same time, actually.
Wow.
Really cute, really
Christine
dumb.
Was going through it.
I was going through it. I had gone through a really bad breakup with a guy.
Struggle's real.
Yeah.
No.
This was one that ended up actually liking boys. So I think we were both very confused in our 20s. So gone through a bad breakup with him and then just sort of gone on the bandwagon of like dating very cute, but not so smart, you know, actors as you do in your 20s. They're very cute. And why not?
And they're sweet. They're usually very sweet and goofy.
Yeah. I went to visit him on the set of some random movie he was doing in Albuquerque. I had extra miles. They were about to expire on United and I could get myself to Albuquerque and back. Why not go to Albuquerque for the weekend? I've never been to Santa Fe.
Right.
I'd like to go to the Georgia O'Keeffe Museum.
Right.
This is what I'm thinking in my head. Right?
Right.
First day, it's great. We have so much fun. We go to an art museum. He takes me to Santa Fe. We look through all the Georgia O'Keeffe stuff. Very cool. We have a lovely little dinner. He was very, like, very sweet. Takes me to dinner, expensive dinner. Very nice, right?
Right.
Later that night, we decide to meet up with his co-star. He was on a show called not at the time, called Sex and the City. He played one of Carrie's many lovers over the years. I'll let you figure out who that
Say
was.
Say it.
Wow. Anyway, he decides that we're going to meet up with him. We're going to go to some random Albuquerque club. Okay. Nobody's at this club, and these two young random girls show up, and I'm like, what are we all doing here at this club? Nobody's here. This is so weird. And the girls kind of open the door, and we go in, and, you know, Sex and the City guy is all like, hey, hey, and I'm kind of like, oh, hi.
Hi, what's going on?
So I don't clock what's happening. They're all getting drugs from these two girls, and they're in on it. And I'm, like, meanwhile, fiddling with the DJ booth, being like, ooh, there's fun songs in here. I'm going to put some CDs in. Like, we're just, like, hanging out, having a couple drinks.
Right.
And I look out, and there's a huge pile of cocaine in the other room that they're all now doing. And I am suddenly so uncomfortable because I just didn't realize that was happening. And it's like one of the times in my life when I'm like, oh my God, I'm so stupid. Why am I like in seventh grade and don't realize what grown-ups do?
People like, don't realize it. Like when you're a child actor, Lindsay Lohan is such an exception because you're really self-disciplined from the time you're a little fucking kid. Mm-hmm. And I was never around it either. I was such a geek. So when I first saw cocaine, I was like, oh!
Me too.
Oh! Yeah. I was so scared of it.
That's how I was.
I'm scared.
Oh my God, it's so weird. Like,
so the guy says to me, he comes, actor boy's like, hey, we're all doing some cocaine. You wanna come? And I'm like, I'm good. Like forever. Yeah. Thanks. And I like turn around and now I'm staying with him.
You're in Albuquerque.
I'm in Albuquerque.
Oh my God.
I leave the next day.
And if there's a Southwest flight available.
I would have gone, but it's like midnight.
Oh yeah. My
right?
God,
you had it. So that happens. I'm uncomfortable. It is what it is.
Right.
My flight out the next day was like at 9 a.m. And then I had like a callback for Gary Marshall for Steel Magnolias at the Falcon. So if I'm like not even I'm not even like drinking because I have a job to do.
You got a job to book. Yeah.
We get back to the hotel. We say goodnight to Sex and the City. We go up and I'm just like freezing him out because he has made me so uncomfortable and I'm just realizing like this is a bad idea and I don't think we just are on the same page here.
Right.
And he can tell and he's now coming down off the drugs.
Oh God.
So he starts, because I'm sure it was some real good shit coming
Alana,
from Albuquerque.
Get ready.
He starts.
Sure it wasn't meth.
Who the fuck knows what it was?
Right, right.
We get back to the room and I'm just like going about my routine, putting on my PJs and I'm like, good night. And I get in bed and I'm just, and he starts crying, full on crying. He now feels real, real bad. And he's like, whimpering. And I am so annoyed now. I literally turned over and I went, they're there. And turned back, rolled back over and was like,
oh my God.
It was not a good scene.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know what? He was like an emotional.
Yeah. He was a crack
when he was coming down off of the coke.
It was bad. And I mean, I wouldn't even say what we were doing was dating. I mean, I think we went out for 2 weeks and that thing happened. He got back to LA, tried to call me a couple times. There was like a sort of rekindle, which was a bad idea on my part.
Sure.
And then I basically told him it was over. And then from that point on, like I've seen him twice. And like one of the times was maybe not even 6 years later. And by that point, man, water under the bridge. Like, who cares?
Yeah, he was a kid.
Whatever. I was a kid. So
you were a kid, yeah.
I see him after a show that I was doing at the Falcon with a bunch of my castmates. We go out to Timmy Nolan's, and he randomly shows up with this group of friends that was somehow connected to my castmates. And he is at the end of the table, like, freezing me out, drinking beers, like, giving me a stare and looking away and giving me a stare. And I'm thinking, like, come on, man. You know, big deal. Like, that was like nothing,
right.
Like in hindsight. And as I'm leaving, he grabs me, like going out the door, and I'm like, oh, hey, how you doing? He's like, don't tell me, don't act like you weren't looking at me, like you didn't see me the whole time I was sitting across the table from you. I'm like, I did. I did. I'm sorry. Like, how are you?
It's
how are things?
Avoidance.
Yeah.
I'm avoiding you.
I'm avoiding you. And clearly it doesn't look like you wanted to talk to me either. So, and he's like, oh, what is this about? You know, is this about all those years ago? He still had all this pent up like aggression.
Arrested Development, man. That's
towards
what
the fact that I didn't want to date a cokehead. Like,
yeah,
sorry about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, not sorry. I don't know. Not my thing, but. It was just funny. Like 6 years later, I was like, are you kidding?
You were the girl that got away.
I guess. And then I saw him in an audition once and he ran past me going across the lot from Warner Brothers. And he goes, too bad you can't talk to me. And like ran to the...
Like, listen, Brett Easton Ellis. He you need to fucking relax, okay?
Slow your roll,
Michael
man.
G. Fox.
It's fucking
cool
crazy.
Cool your heels, Brett Easton.
I want to know.
Oh,
so
my
is
God.
Is he still working to this day?
I think he is.
I got
to... He was on ER
for
a while.
Like your affair with him.
Oh, my God.
He's got a total soundtrack.
Oh, no, he called after the whole, like, cocaine bit.
There's more. Right.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
He
no.
called me and was like, I just think that, you know, we should really get back together. I just want you to listen to something. I'm like, you know what?
It's don't
honey,
you forget about me.
I don't
bye.
Have time. Like, I think this is done. He goes, just listen, okay?
Oh,
and he wrote a song for me and played it
no,
on the piano.
You. I told you. Oh, my God.
And then he was annoyed afterwards that I was like, that's nice.
Oh,
he's
my
like,
God.
I can't believe you. You're such a bitch. Well, you're cold and heartless. And I'm like, I don't want to be with you. I don't know how
he
to tell you this.
He's a little schizophrenic. Maybe.
Oh, he was. I think he was just doing way too many drugs at the time.
Okay, enough about Christine.
Enough about me. Let's
enough
get back to you.
Like, I want to. I'm curious. Have you ever been fired from a job or let go?
Yes. The first show I got let go from, it was called Me and Henry. Melanie Griffith took a shot at being us on a sitcom. Jeffrey Tambor was in it. Yeah, and I played her next door neighbor. And I think it was for NBC or CBS? CBS. And I auditioned for it. I got the role. I was so excited. And
it's a regular?
It was a regular on the pilot, which didn't go. But we did a table read, and I started a riff, and that wasn't a good idea. and then we went into rehearsal. And Melanie Griffith had said something like, oh, I just don't think I'm funny, you guys. And she's just so honest with herself and,
right.
and which is cool. And I kind of raised my hand and said, well, Lee Strasberg said that if you're doubting yourself, what was I thinking? Like Lee Strasberg said that if you're doubting yourself, you have to embrace it and you can use it in the scene and it's probably going to make it even better. And she was like, what? Like, I just, didn't know my place as someone with four fucking lines and a pilot.
Yeah.
And I got asked to walk
to
away.
To depart.
I got a call that evening from a network executive saying, hi, Alana, we're this isn't going any further with the job. And I was just like, am I still getting paid? She was just like, yeah, it doesn't work that way. I was like, awesome, thank you. So I still got paid, but when you get fired from pilots, it's sort of like, oh, okay. Well, that happened. And then...
Well, the table read is the big place where they start firing.
It's where they start firing. One time I did a table read for... Joan Cusack had her own show at one point.
She's genius.
She's fantastic. She was... I played a waitress that I got hired on to do a guest star. And I went out and got highlights the first day of rehearsal. And because I just wanted to look, you know, cute for the show. They were like... The director wanted to me, he's like, why'd you get highlights? What's going on? Why do you look different? I was like, what do you mean? It's just like, did you get highlights? I was like, no. What are you talking about? No. My hair was this color when I walked into the audition. And he was like, uh-huh, okay. And I remember going into to wardrobe to get fitted, and the girls were just like, we know your size. You're good.
Oh, no.
And they had already been told that they were bringing in someone else, and I was just
because
like,
of your
fuck.
Hair?
Yeah, it was something they just wanted a certain look.
You
should
have said no. It's just temporary. I just colored it for today for another part, but it's going back tomorrow.
You know what? I wasn't 41 back then.
Yeah.
I would have lied through my ass, went back to the salon and said, "Do it back to
that's
to normal,
the thing." It's like it's just like why couldn't they just been like, "Yeah, we don't like that. Go back."
Yeah, exactly.
No, it's just easier to hire someone else.
You know, back
so
in the
weird.
'90s, people were really
yeah,
they were never straight shooters. One thing I love, there's been a physiological shift in the business where people are just so much more straightforward with you right off the bat. And I think it's, you know, all that fake shit that we put up with in the 80s and 90s doesn't fly anymore.
No. Well, they
you
don't,
cannot, no, it you, works you so. Can't, you can't bullshit. Anymore.
Not really.
It's no, people don't have time.
Yeah.
And there's some, we have information at our fingertips within a second's notice.
Yeah.
And I think that's what makes, you know, the business nowadays be refreshingly more authentic.
Although there's less to like really, there's not a lot of stuff happening.
No, there isn't. There isn't. I mean, it's you know, Nicole Kidman is doing TV.
Yeah.
It's so scary.
Well, that's, yeah.
Did you audition for Girlfriend's Guide?
Yeah. I put myself, I went on tape. And then they, thank you to my agents. They were just like, you got the tape. That's as good as it's going to get. She doesn't have to go in and test or anything like that. So they had the studio and the network, both look at it, and it took them a while. You know, Vancouver, if you're working in Vancouver, they have to do a background check on you.
Oh,
you couldn't have gotten a DUI within the last 10 years. They won't let you work.
Really?
It's wild.
I didn't realize that.
So it took a while.
If you have a misdemeanor.
The second guy I went out with, he definitely can't work in Vancouver.
Oh, there you go.
I think he had several of those. He was a real winner.
You just sent tape? That's it?
I walked into casting. They put me on tape and they had, I believe I was up against the, I love her so much. She's on One Day at a Time, the new Latina version of it. Yeah.
Is it on?
It is.
One Day at a Time?
Yeah.
It's on Netflix.
So. Yes, it got
it is? Reviews. Oh, okay. I haven't seen it yet.
Norman Lear's new show. Oh, yeah. Great. Mm-hmm. I love her.
Yeah.
I thought when I walked in and I saw her in the waiting room, I was like, oh shit, Alana, just go home, you know? And I walked in, not just thinking I wasn't going to book it, and I got
swung
a call
your way.
Saying, wow, yeah.
Yeah, but you guys seem like sisters.
You do. You do. Oh,
really?
Yeah.
There you go. You never know if it's going to work or not.
But a lot of times on a series like that, especially when you're shooting in out of state where you're normally, you really, all you have is the cast and crew, there's not, you know, not everyone, that you don't know a lot of people in Vancouver, I'm assuming, and you're working 14-hour days, I'm assuming, as
sure.
well.
Sure.
So you have to spend a lot of time with
these
people.
Yes, you do.
So you have to get along.
You do.
Yeah.
And if you don't get along, it's not, especially for the star of the show, she's going to be like, get rid of her.
No, you're screwed.
Yeah.
It's really hard. I mean, you have to really, it's going to a new school.
You didn't give her a Strasburg quote, did you?
Lisa, listen. No, it was, I mean, you know, she's so cool and she has such fun. She has so many fun stories. God. Damn,
get her on our show.
I mean, oh my God, you guys should have her on our show because she has the best stories in the entire world. I mean, this girl was like, no nepotism involved with the way she did it. She was a bartender. She was a club kid in the 80s.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
She, you know, she really like clawed her way up to the top of the ladder and of success. And she's just fun.
Yeah.
She's got
it's a good role
so
for her.
So intelligent.
You got in on season two?
Yeah. Season one, in the middle of season one, Janine Garofalo was on the show.
Right.
And then they wrote her off. She, you know, she just wasn't feeling it. And so they were like, well, it's between a dog or Alana. Like, you know.
They're going to bring on a dog.
Which is possible.
Yeah.
Does sell TV.
Yeah, there you go. It's between me and a dog. And I'm glad I got the role. So there you go. And it lasted for 3 years. It was a good 3-year run. I can't believe it.
But wait a minute. So then you're shooting in Vancouver. Your husband is here.
Yes.
How's that work out?
Well, I mean, 4 months out of the year, sometimes 6 months out of the year, I would be away in Vancouver. Now, it's 2.5 hours on the plane. It's a 2.5 hour plane ride.
Yeah,
so
it's not
really that bad. It's not Toronto. So he and I would like every 2 weeks or 3 weeks, I would go and spend a weekend with him or anytime we had off, whatever, you know, I'm not in every single scene. So sometimes I have like a full 4 days off, you know, and I'd be able to come fly down here and spend
That's
some
nice.
Time. But Vancouver's so beautiful. So he'd love to hop on a plane and go out there and we just, you know, exhaust the town and have a good time. So we did make the most of it. It was hard at first, but then, you know.
Have you shot anything since the last season of Girlfriend's Guide?
Yes. To the Bone, which is another movie that Lily Collins is in and Keanu Reeves.
Yeah. Oh.
And it's about eating disorders. And it's, you guys, it's unbelievable. I can't believe there are not more films about this disease.
Is it independent?
Or
is
it's an indie. Netflix picked it up. It's about to be released.
Ooh, got to see that.
Oh, it's amazing. And Keanu Reeves and I run a facility that's really, you know, kind of cutting edge and outside of the box to help these girls with eating disorders.
Wow.
And it's Lily Collins is amazing in this. She gives such a great performance. She lost like 20 pounds or something for the,
wow.
I mean, it's, she looks almost unrecognizable in the film. And,
wow.
And it's about this, you know,
yeah.
this girl that just will not stop trying to disappear.
How's Keanu?
Keanu's awesome.
He's the nicest guy, right?
He's so eccentric and so warm.
Yeah.
Like every once in a while you meet a celebrity and they sort of have this thing. There's something about working with celebrities. Oh, boy. When they're really famous, like it, there's sort of this like smoke and mirrors sort of thing in their eyes,
mm-hmm.
where you're like, am I looking into someone that's real? Or are you just so fucking guarded that I can't even have a conversation with you? And a lot of the times with these actors, you have to start over every single day sometimes with these celebrities.
Right.
Because just when you
think, trust level.
The trust level. Just when you think that you like them and they've told you a little bit about their families and this, that, and the other, and you've shared stories, the next fucking morning, you're at craft service getting coffee and it's like, hey, they don't even know you.
Right.
You're like,
that's
Jesus.
So weird.
Dude, I'm playing your friend in this, in whatever we're doing. I'm playing your wife. I'm playing your neighbor. Come on. We gotta. You gotta have some kind of
connective tissue.
Get
here.
Rid of that fucking ego, man, because it's not. It's not helping.
No.
It's not helping this project. But every once in a while, you'll come across someone like Keanu Reeves or like Dustin Hoffman or Robert De Niro, and they're just so nice. They're really nice people. You're like, oh, no wonder they're as successful as they are because people like hanging out with them.
Well, and they realize that the process, the movie, the product is only going to be better if they have a connection
yes!
with you. Because you have to look in each
concept.
Other's, right? You have to look in each other's eyes and be two different people that you're not in your normal lives, but have some kind of truth.
Absolutely.
And even if that's a truth of, how was your night last night? Great. My wife and I went to dinner down the street. You should try this Italian restaurant. Oh, that's so great. My kids are coming in this weekend. Whatever that bullshit is of small talk.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like, I'm not going to sue you. I'm not out to
go to TMZ about your where you're going to dinner.
What you eat and it's very, but it's really interesting a lot of the times when you run across when you cross paths with like a really guarded celebrity that you have to work with. It really the performance suffers.
Absolutely.
I'm curious also because a lot of you I'm assuming, cause just the way you are in person, and I can, and I've seen you on screen and television a whole bit. You've a lot of improv skills in the sense of like you're very quick
here and there.
You're quick. You are. Have you ever had an issue with writers or directors on set, like with just your vision of what you think that character should be? Or is everyone you've worked with been very collaborative?
You know, I've been lucky in the sense that if whatever I'm doing, I'll usually stick to the script. Look, if it's television and it's all about hilarity, yes, I will add in a couple of things here and there. But you know, I'll add in some lemon pepper or whatever. But usually, you got to stick to the script, and And sometimes the dialogue is really hard. It's like, you know, I don't think anyone talks this way, but, you know, a lot of the times the writer really is married to that dialogue. And you're like, oh, God, it's not going to be authentic. And then I look at it and I see the end product. I'm like, yeah, I don't believe myself. I just don't believe myself. But that's okay. You just sort of, you know, kind of have to... The fun I have is trying to make really difficult dialogue that is really hard to believe any would come out of anyone's mouth and try to make that real. And it's really hard. And
it is.
A lot of the times I fail at it. It's impossible, but.
But the thing you think you fail, I think as actors, we watch ourselves on screen. We know all of our tells. I know when I'm like, oh, that didn't sound real.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, 99% of the world doesn't know that.
Absolutely.
So you're always your worst critic.
I am. And I can't watch half of my shit because I'm always thinking, oh my God, what was I thinking? Like, why? What was that? I sound like Dick Van Dyke and Mary Poppins on Californication. Like, that was the worst fucking British accent in the entire world. But I was having so much fun while I was doing it that no one could tell me any different. And, you know, so it was like, Alana, let's mail the sandwich. You got it. And I was like,
wait,
like,
you played what?
I played this widow on Californication, and I had to do a British accent, and it was such a bad, it was such an over the top accent on Californication that, like,
you're like,
why
are
you British?
It's Cockney, and, but it, I wanted to do like an Amy Winehouse sort of a thing, and
but
Amy Winehouse.
Did you make her British, or the character was written to be British?
I auditioned for it with a British accent. I thought it'd be really funny if this this girl, she her husband was like a rock and roller. And so I thought it'd be really funny to, for her to be British, and they loved it. And so I just took it and just added so much mayo to that fucking sandwich in my performance. But I remember it was, it's so sad because I watch it and I'm like, oh my God, I'm so over the top and my accent is so bad. But you guys, it was probably the most fun I've ever had. So, you know,
was it a recurring
think,
or just a guest star?
It was. I was in like four or five episodes.
Oh, my God.
I love that show.
I had so much fun. And sometimes you have to defend the fact that, you know, look, I wasn't wearing my seatbelt on that roller coaster. And I don't give a fuck. Damn it.
Nobody else gave a fuck,
no
obviously.
One cared. You know, it, a lot of the times it's just you got. You have to have fun while you're doing these things, you guys, because it's so, it could be so
it's
depressing sometimes.
I know. It's could be tedious.
Yeah. Well,
let's talk David Duchovny for a minute.
Oh, my God. He is so beautiful.
Isn't he?
That is one beautiful man.
I know. I'm such a fan of him.
He's nice, too.
God, yeah. Yeah.
He's really nice.
Cool. In his skin, just comfortable in it.
Yeah, I saw him. I was going up to Sirius XM, and he was in the elevator with me doing Sirius, and it was like totally nice, really cool jeans, t-shirt kind of guy, yeah. Leather jacket. Uh-huh. I was like, it's fucking David Duchovny.
Sexy,
like, yeah, that's
right?
So cool.
Normal,
yeah,
down to earth,
really,
person.
Yeah, just fun.
Who did you, out of all the actors that you worked with, who's the one that like you like really related to, like you really like?
Who did I want to relate to?
Yeah.
Ben Stiller.
And
Ben
you didn't?
Stiller, I did relate to
okay.
him. I mean, but you know, I don't have his success. But I always thought, wow, if I ever get to, if I can ever attain his level of success, this motherfucker. It's midnight. We've wrapped. We've got maybe like a 7 or 8 hour turnaround, and he wants to rehearse the scene that we're about to do the following morning. And I loved that about him.
That's
he was like,
awesome.
He's like, Ewok, are you cool? Just going over the scene. He was like, so that we can sleep on it and it could be really easy to do tomorrow morning. I was like, yes. He's such a hard worker, and there's a reason why he's just always doing different things. And he still goes to acting class. I mean, he's, you know, he's been with Sharon Chatton for years.
Well, his parents are legends.
Yeah. And I think, and I was, mean, I asked, you know, it's funny. They're always asked, they're like, what makes him such a cool, hard worker? And he's never complacent. He's never satisfied with the things he does. He's always just like, okay, I did that. Now I've got to do this. And he's always uber natural. And I think his mom and dad, you know, from the time he was a little kid, he was taking out the trash and like cleaning the dog shit up when he was like,
but
you know,
they're
a kid.
Old school actors.
They're old
yeah.
school
they're like
actors
vaudeville.
In New York. They're
like,
vaudeville.
Yeah. That's like the and, real shit.
Yeah, you can tell that there's something to be said about raising a kid.
Was that,
that really,
Meet the Fockers?
It was Meet the Fockers.
Yeah.
Yeah, and working with him. And Dustin Hoffman, who's like one of those theater geeks you've met in college. Like,
yeah.
He's always on, and he's so, like, I think his biggest fan woke up and said, oh my God, I'm in Dustin Hoffman's body.
Right.
Oh my
right.
God! Oh my God! Like,
seriously?
He's so excited to be Dustin Hoffman. He's and it's so cute. I mean,
and every day is like a fun
yes,
new experience.
It's endearing.
Listen, Tootsie is one of the movies that really like made. I mean,
it's probably
like,
on my top 10 list.
It's
of all
come
all time.
The fuck on.
Yeah, there's two actors growing up that I was obsessed with. It was Dustin Hoffman, and are you ready? Rick Moranis.
Oh yeah.
Rick Moranis is he's and apparently the sweetest thing in the entire
so
world.
So nice.
Yes, and cool, and I, you know, it's fun. These people just, you could tell they just, what else would they be doing if they weren't doing what they do? You know,
cracking jokes and being the class clown,
there
but at
go.
A corporate job.
Yeah, there you go.
You
yeah,
know?
Or working in like a video store or
right.
something like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Which
okay.
Exist.
Other side.
Yeah.
Worst experiences. The people that won't look you in the eye.
the like hard to crack, the not didn't make it fun?
I experienced a lot of misogyny when I was a kid in the business, and a little bit of anti, and it's funny because I'm not even like a practicing Jew, but anti-Semitism from a couple of directors here and there.
Really?
Yeah, for sure.
It's a Jewish industry.
It's a gay mafia, but it was the 90s or the late 80s, and I experienced a little bit of that. It was wild, and it was really scary to be around, and I couldn't understand it or wrap my head around it when I was a little kid. I just thought, wow, I'm just a really bad actor, and I don't know how to fix it. But you know, there was a little bit of abuse from a couple of directors here and there.
Wow.
Yeah. And I'll never forget it.
That's gross.
Have you worked with them since?
No, I ran into one of them not too long ago. I was hiking, and he was in the passenger seat of a friend of my sister's. And the friend of my sister slowed down and said, "Alana, what's going on? How are you?" And I looked at the passenger seat, and he saw me, and he turned his head the other way. I wonder if he thinks, "Wow, I kind of abused her as when she was a kid, and now she's in her 20s." And it was nothing sexual; it was just pure like hatred, like just not liking the fact that I was who I was. It was amazing. Yes, there was, there was one person I worked with that just couldn't wrap his or her head around the fact that I was Hispanic. And I'll never forget that.
Like to the degree where they were like getting...
It affected them. Like it just affected the fact that it's, you know, because racism
didn't feel like you looked Hispanic.
Thing.
They kept commenting.
They just didn't like the fact that I was.
Oh, they like that you were.
It was like, whoa, man. And I sometimes think about, I wonder if like Louis Guzman or Cheech Marin or any of these people ever went through that, because they are the real deal. And I don't exactly look typically Hispanic, but when people do a, you know, look me up on Wikipedia and they understand that that's my background, it's my blood. This character could not wrap his or her head around the fact that I was Hispanic, and it really bugged them.
And also, your name doesn't really give it away.
Ubach, no. Yeah, it's German. It was just really interesting, and I'm like, wow. You'd think with Obama in office, mm-hmm, we would have gotten rid of it, but now,
really? Yeah,
this schmuck is just unearthed. You know, he's just given everyone carte blanche to hate.
This is recent?
Yeah, it was recent.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You mean in this, like, this is not when you were a kid?
No,
this
it was
like
Obama
now.
Was in office, yeah. Yeah. I can't name names. I mean,
no, I don't want you to, but
no,
it's
pretty amazing. I mean, I do so badly, but no, it's going to happen sometimes in the workplace. And especially you think, and we're in a business where it's all about, you know, passion for humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And every once in a while you'll come across a schmuck that really doesn't get it. And it's mm-hmm. so sad. It's so sad. You know,
I had one experience with an actress, who wouldn't look me in the eye.
Oh shit.
And
actor
then,
or actress?
Actress.
Uh-huh.
And then told the director to tell me to stop looking her in the eye.
While you're working, you mean?
Correct.
Or like off camera?
While I was working with her.
What are you supposed to do?
What the fuck are you supposed to do?
I supposed to look?
Did you
if
say
not
that?
In her eye.
Does she have a third?
The director came over to me and said, "I have to talk to you. Come here."
That's Gary Marshall.
Correct. And he said, "So she's not so good on the lines. She's nervous. You're looking at her in the eyes and it's making her nervous. Just, you know, maybe look around." And I said, okay. Well, where am I supposed to?
I think I know who this is.
Okay. And he's like, "You know, you do me a favor." And I love Gary more than anything. And he was just trying to get through the day. So I don't.
Right.
That was just what it was. But I could not believe, couldn't say two words to me, couldn't say hello, but didn't want me to look her in the eye while we were doing a scene together because was, quote unquote, nervous about knowing her lines. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I know.
So if you watch the movie, Georgia Rule, you will see me in this particular scene literally darting my eyes around looking like an idiot because
like
I don't know where
from
the fuck to look.
So he kept the scene in there?
Oh, the scene's in there.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is the same movie where I'm in some very random scenes because said actress would not show up. And because she was, you know, sleeping it off. And the production was going to get shut down if they didn't film. So wow. I got a call.
So you had to do it without her there.
Well, I got a call from Gary's assistant, Heather, who said, hey, how quick can you be here? And I said, where are you? And she tells me. And I said, oh, gosh, I can probably be there in like 20 minutes. And I shoot up to set and I put on my like Mormon costume because I'm playing this good little Mormon girl. And I find him under a tent somewhere and he's sitting there and he's like writing. Gary's writing on a legal pad and he rips off the sheet of paper and goes, can you say this? He's just writing a scene so that there's something to film while all wait for her ass.
Wow.
And so there's me in the bushes just like looking around like pretending like I'm doing something.
You know, sometimes it's like
I don't mean for it to be hard to figure out. Yeah. I have no problem telling this story.
Sometimes it's like wrangling puppies. I mean, everyone, you know, you're going to cross paths with assholes.
Yeah.
In any kind of workplace, in any kind of work environment, no matter what.
Or once again, people that are just doing drugs. And I'm once again
there you go.
In seventh grade and oblivious.
You don't know what's going on, but it's always them and it's always their mishigas, right? It's never you. Ever. You could have been anyone. That was doing the good actor thing and looking at her straight in the eye because obviously you guys have a relationship that you want to be believable.
And if you're talking to someone, where else are you going to look? Unless you're doing a scene where you're trying to lie.
Right. I would have said something like, can I stare at her tits?
Yeah.
Can I just stare down at her tits?
That would have been a good line.
I'm just going to stare at her tits.
I'm just going to try. If that doesn't make her uncomfortable.
Do you always do off camera?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Because I've worked with some people who just were like, okay.
My side's done, so I'm done. Yeah. I hate that shit.
Makes me crazy.
That makes me
so
annoyed.
You know what was really amazing about it? I was doing an episode of Ted Danson's show, the sitcom that he had, with all, you know, he was the teacher or principal.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I remember that.
The nicest, most professional man.
Sexy.
And like literally him. Was like, okay, Ted, we're done with you. And then they're like going to put someone in. And he's like, no, I'm going to do the off camera. And they're like, you don't have to. You're done for the day. Da, 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 da. And then like, no, I'm going to do his off camera. Like, and literally sat and waited to Sweet. Do. So nice.
I mean, absolutely. That's part of your job. Yeah. Your job is to make the scene
well, they usually, shoot, you know, the person that's on the call sheet, the number one on the call sheet.
They shoot them out
first and then.
Right.
They don't have to.
Right.
Yeah, but it's courtesy, and I think it's respect to your other actor.
Alana,
unless it's a child.
Do, if they get picked up for Hollywood Darlings, you have to
oh
do
my
an
God, you have
Hollywood
to come
Darlings.
On. You have to come
oh
on
God.
And play someone,
I,
some
of
insane
course,
person.
I'm down. Oh my God, let me just shoot this thing out of me.
Great.
And then I'll be able to have a cocktail and be on your show.
Oh my God, I love it.
Well, you guys
cocktail.
should, in the next season, you should write a Mommy and Me episode.
Yes, exactly.
Oh my God, that's funny.
Go to a Mommy and Me.
Girls, she'd be hilarious.
That'd be awesome. I've wanted
you
to
don't
do...
show up one day and it's no mommy, just me.
I just want to hang around your kids. I've wanted to do an episode about like a Mommy and Me group because now I'm in so many of them and just like some of the personalities, you know, that you tend to find. I was at the park a couple weeks ago with my girlfriend and she's just really cool and laid back and her kids are kind of running around and her kid kind of picked up somebody's snack cup and just started looking through it and there was some random a mom who's like, excuse me, he's eating someone's snack. She's just there policing, you know. And she's like, oh Jesus.
Yeah,
you
know. One thing about having a kid is that one thing I'm not looking forward to is being around, you know, people that you would not be around if you didn't have kids.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That people you would not be friends with. And that's
on the flip side of that, you also make friends with people going through the same thing at the same time.
Yeah.
That you realize, oh, I'm finding a new tribe of people
right.
that understand exactly what I'm talking about at 3 a.m. when I'm up breastfeeding or I'm, you know, my kid's sick and I can call them on a moment's notice or I can be like, oh my God, I'm losing my mind. Can you meet me at the park? Because I got to walk somewhere before I lose it.
Right,
so on that side of it, it's awesome because moms have like a connective tissue that's like, no judgment. I get it. Who needs to bring the wine?
Right,
you know?
Right.
And that's the kind of mom I'm always looking for.
Does your
for.
Sister have kids?
She doesn't. No.
So are you the first of the...
Yes, it's my mom's
wow.
first grandkid.
Are you serious?
She's losing her mind.
Deal.
She's so excited.
Oh, forget it. Where does she live?
She's in Downey, the same house where I was born and raised.
Oh, you're kidding.
Wow.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. Who's in the room with you when you give birth?
It's just going to be me and my husband. I mean...
You're not going to let her experience it with you?
I'm afraid of... she is a little older, and I don't want her to see me suffer that way. I think it would just kill her.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Honestly, if she sees me going through that much sort of pain,
don't.
It would just really, I think, she'd pass out.
Yeah, whatever you do, don't tell this one when you go into labor. Yeah, because he will come and he will put your mother on a text thread along with all of your best girlfriends and just do the play-by-play.
Are you addicted to the smell? I mean, I don't
know. No, what it is it's I like
you like the oceanic.
He likes the drama.
It's the drama and the manipulation of like the nurses. Like for instance, like I go straight to the nurse's desk and I'll crack a couple jokes and I go, where the hell can I get a fucking...
Ooh, you're funny.
Where can I get a scotch in this place? You know, something stupid. They're like, he's so cute, blah, blah, blah. Now, if they're of urban essence,
right,
I go straight to them because I'm from New Orleans.
Right.
Right?
You're part of the tribe.
I got it in me.
Got it.
So I like to make friends with the nurses first thing because then I know my friend is going to be treated like the best.
Like the best.
Right?
Yeah.
Because she's a bitch.
No, I'm not. So nice. And, I don't know what you're talking about.
If she's in pain or whatever, she's going to be a bitch.
To you, yes.
Well, oh, my God. She's in labor. Her vagina is about to fall off.
I get
it.
But I need you to understand something. That these people, they switch shifts and they tell the other nurses.
Oh, you're right.
So
you're absolutely right.
You've got to be nice to these people.
Oh, the mother in 4A is real.
Because they are going to make sure that you're their number. Because they're not. She's not the only patient there. There's like six other women having babies. Her nurse opted, they tried to get her to go help another doctor with another baby, and her nurse was like, no, I want to stay with Christine. So they worked it out.
I attribute that not to me being a bitch and you reconciling it. I was very, very nice to my nurse. In fact, I brought them a basket of goodies.
Which I ate.
Which you ate. That's so there's fantastic. That. I think she did come back, though, because the room was funny.
Yeah, it was fun.
He's cracking jokes. Cool. And actually my husband, who was very, it got tedious and it got like long and it did get nerve wracking a couple times.
It was like 15 hours or
something. Yeah. Oh, I was there for 2 days waiting. Oh, yeah. It was a whole, so I think actually having a law there was a nice comic relief for him too. So,
yeah.
I mean, we had to sleep in that room. We were in like, you know. Just waiting and waiting and waiting for my lemon of a cervix to open.
Oh, you poor baby.
But I wish you the fastest, best birth
ever.
Hey,
man, I'm
at your age, it's going to go real quick, sweetie.
I mean, hey, with my cervix. Yeah.
We know how to push things out of that.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you have stuff yet?
Yeah.
They have the pride bassinet. They have a bassinet that has the pride.
I got my gay pride bassinet.
We're going to take a picture of it.
I've got cute.
Yes, my gay pride bassinet. And we got a couple of strollers. They turn into, it's like the 3-in-1 car seat stroller.
Do you have an SUV?
Hell no, that gas guzzling son of a bitch.
So what are you driving?
I'm driving I was a consumer of Jetta for many years. I was a very, yes. And then
you switched.
And then I switched to Audi. And I've been a very loyal customer to them for the past 12 years.
Okay.
Yes. So I lease because it's a write-off.
Like, and you want a new car every 3 years.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you have a boy, circumcision?
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, for sure. And only it's just, you know, it's I have a couple of friends who have not been circumcised and they're always at the doctor's office with like an infection and stuff.
Yeah, no, that's bad.
Yeah. They like are you at the doctor's office.
Are you circumcised?
Of course I'm circumcised. I don't know. I'm Middle Eastern.
We're friends, but we're not.
Yeah, the non-circumcised boys, man, you've got some cleaning to do in the shower every day.
I'm so happy I had a girl for that little I don't know what to do with that.
Oh, you'll be fine. Wow. Christine, you're such a nightmare.
What are you talking about?
No.
For my first child?
Baby. Oh, yeah. My God.
I know, probably, but I don't know.
Have boys, twins.
No, please don't. Oh, my God. Please don't put that. I couldn't. My friend just had twins. We're going over to their house this afternoon. I made them a lasagna. If you'd like a meal train lasagna, I'm happy to make you one when you have the baby.
You know, I have an Audi vagina, and I wish that it was circumcised when I was a little girl. I wish we had that.
When you go, if you end up getting the C-section, tell them to fix it.
Oh, you know, I don't really. I mean, am I Kathy Griffin? Like, is it really? Are my meat curtains like that big of a deal?
Well, I'm just saying, if it bothers you that much.
Well, I mean, if they start like just hanging like an Arby's.
God,
I might consider.
Listen, you old drip whisker.
Are you gonna have like a night nurse? Are you doing it all by yourself?
I got a night nurse, baby. I ain't no fool.
Okay, good.
Good for you.
Yeah, good old Ariana. If you're listening, thank you, Ariana.
give us her Twitter handle.
Alana, where can we find you on the social?
Oh, Alana Ubach, A-L-A-N-N-A, last name U-B-A-C-H, and I'm on Instagram, and I'm on Twitter, and I send really funny facts every single day. I'm fun to follow, I promise.
And what's the new project that's coming out on Netflix?
To the Bone, which is really fun, and I was just in that movie with Shirley MacLaine, The Last Word, which is fun. I play MacLaine's gynecologist.
Oh, you're awesome. Kidding. That's awesome. Sorry, have you done Andy Cohen's Watch What Happens Live yet?
No, I want to, though.
You should make them let you do that, because you guys would get along fantastic.
Yeah, he is. He's fun. He's got the gift of gab.
Yeah, I think you guys would get along great.
Yeah, I just don't shut up. It would be fantastic. Yes, I will. I will try. What about Andy Cohen? Yeah.
Shut up. All right, let's go.
As always, I'm Christine Lakin at Yo Lakin on all social media.
And I'm Alaa Khaled at Alec Led.
Still
on everything.
Doesn't make sense. And Steven, our lovely producer and engineer, we should have asked Steven some more questions. Steven, do you have any questions for Alana?
No, I'm just having the best time. Oh my God.
We're going to take some pictures of these Grammys. But anyway.
Awesome. Yes, I'm excited. Yeah,
and the Pride Bassinet. Okay, Steven, go.
Oh, you can always find me at Steven Ray Morris.
If you have any questions, concerns, thoughts, comments, or just want to rant, email us at worsteverpodcast@gmail.com. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.